Opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With early detection comes early prevention.
Put lead in your pencil, make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again, let nothing keep you down. To live your best,
hear the urologist speak.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Think you're losing grip.
Don't be ashamed. It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
You will find
he'll help you solve your problems
on 96.9. Yeah.
I'm telling you, with early detection
comes early prevention.
Put lead in your pencil, make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Live your best.
Hear the urologist.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto, Bahamian urologist, and welcome to the second episode of The Urologist Speaks. It's a pleasure to be here. Unfortunately, my co-host, surgeon Dr. Wesley Francis, I left behind in surgical theater. He's fighting with a very challenging case. So I'm solo today, but I'm very happy to be here. This is the last Wednesday in September. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. So I'm going to use this opportunity to stress the importance of prostate cancer knowledge in terms of screening, in terms of surveillance, in terms of management, looking for signs, if there are any. But this is Guardian Radio 96.9. We're streaming live, audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Or BTC Flow, channel 612. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line, which is 422-4796, powered by BTC, standard text rate supply, or feel free to call us. I want this to be an interactive show. Call us at 323-6232, or 325-4316, or 326-4259, or call toll-free from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. All right, so at the outset, I want to break the silence of prostate cancer. Not enough is being done. There's not enough media attention. There's not enough education being stressed throughout the community. I think a lot of men will remark that they feel left out. They hear a lot about breast cancer, but prostate cancer, you might get a little bit of fanfare for a few weeks in September, but beyond that, it's a forgotten topic. And prostate cancer, as I've said many times, is the number one cancer in this country, and it's afflicting as many as 1 in 6 men, Bahamians, and residents in this country, and that's an overwhelming statistic. As many as 100 men are dying needlessly, and I stress needlessly, of prostate cancer every single year. And these are men, many of them in the prime of their life, with their whole life to look forward to, and being struck down by prostate cancer, which is in many cases a very prolonged and painful death, where you may be a burden to your family all of a sudden for 8, 10, 12 years while you slowly die in and out of hospital, in and out of an emergency room, taking bloods, going into surgery, getting procedures. If you don't want to see a doctor, all you have to do is get your annual surveillance. All you need to do is go for annual physicals. For prostate cancer, all we're asking you for is to get a prostate-specific antigen blood test every year from the age of 40 and every single year after that, so that we can pick up prostate cancer at an early stage And if we can pick up prostate cancer early, your chance of survival at 5 years is nearing 100%. There are very few cancers you can say that. The cancer-specific survival for prostate cancer at 10 years is 96, 97%. So it's a very curable disease. It's something that we can easily pick up. In fact, we can pick it up so early when it's so innocuous, so benign, at such a low volume that we can actually surveil you. We don't even need to rush and treat you. So this miscommunication that's in the community that prostate cancer is a killer, that once you get it, you're dead, your erections are dead, your manhood is dead, you're going to live your rest of your remaining few years with a catheter in a bag, and you live with indignity and pain. Absolutely not. If we can pick up prostate cancer early, your chance of survival is 100%. And all we're asking for you to do is please get a blood test every single year. And you should be getting an annual physical every year anyway, because we have a very high rate of non-communicable diseases in this country. Diabetes, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, coronary artery disease, obesity, and the list goes on and on. Sleep apnea, which I'll get into later. So please get your annual physicals, man. You have time to tune up your car 3 times a year, 4 times a year. If there's anything going wrong with your engine, you're the first one to go see your mechanic. But when it comes to your own health, and not only does your health affect you, but it affects your loved ones because they're relying on you. You don't want to become a burden to them, even if it's emotionally or financially. Don't let them see you suffer or die needlessly. Be there for your grandchildren's graduation. Be there for the twilight years and of retirement where you've enjoyed your whole life of working hard. Now you can enjoy it with your spouse. So essentially what we need to do is the stigma surrounding prostate cancer forcing men into a culture of avoidance, we need to stop it. This reluctance to address prostate cancer directly only perpetrates the cycle of death and suffering from the disease in this beautiful Bahamas. It is beyond time to shatter this silence surrounding prostate cancer, to ask and answer the difficult questions, and to confront prostate cancer with courage and determination. So this is a cultural outreach for myself. If I can save one life, it's worth my time and effort. Hopefully over time we'll save dozens of persons, maybe even hundreds. Hopefully we can improve the lives of thousands of Bahamians and residents. And not only in terms of the quality of life, and I'm talking about mental and physical health, because not enough is being stressed about mental health, but also increase the longevity. So we want to have increase the number of years on this earth, and not only the number of years on this earth, but the quality of life on this earth. So prostate cancer is overwhelming. Why is that? There are many reasons for it. We have to look at, first of all, the risk factors. Why do men get prostate cancer? And why do Bahamian men in particular get prostate cancer at such an alarming rate? We're top 10 in the world per capita in terms of prostate cancer incidence. We're top 10 in the world per capita in terms of prostate cancer deaths. That's an alarming fact that doesn't get enough media attention. And we need to not just concentrate on prostate cancer once, 1 month a year. We need to do it in continuously. So why do we get prostate cancer? It's a disease of older men. So advancing age is a risk factor in itself. In fact, it's the number one risk factor for getting prostate cancer. So as we live longer, our chance of getting prostate cancer increases. It's rare that any man is going to get prostate cancer under the age of 40. It's usually a disease that we're more concerned after the age of 50. Usually in this country, we're going to have men on average getting prostate cancer in their early 60s. Worldwide, particularly for Caucasians, usually they get afflicted with prostate cancer at the age of 67 or 68. But because we're primarily of African ancestry, we unfortunately have not just a more aggressive form of the disease, but it afflicts us 7 or 8 years before our racial counterparts, the Asians, the Hispanics, and the Caucasians are afflicted with prostate cancer. So for that reason, we have to be very diligent in picking up prostate cancer, because it's not the 80-year-olds that are getting the prostate cancer. It's the ones that are in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s who have so many years left in this earth to enjoy that are being struck down, needlessly dying. The other risk factor, unfortunately, is being of African or Caribbean ancestry. We're twice as likely to get prostate cancer than our Caucasian counterparts. We're 2.6 times more likely to die of the disease. Another part, when we look at the demographics of our society, we tick all the boxes, unfortunately, for getting prostate cancer. We're an obese nation. We're one of the more obese nations on this earth, particularly for the Caribbean. Obesity in itself can lead to a more aggressive form of prostate cancer. Alcohol consumption, particularly during middle age, from the age of 30 to 50, if you consume a large amount of alcohol, which unfortunately, as a society, we do across the board, that can also increase our risk of getting prostate cancer. Sexually transmitted diseases, I'll say it here, men in this country, their mantra, their motto, what they live by is raw as law, and you can't live like that because sexually transmitted diseases are, of course, we talk about HIV, we talk about AIDS, we talk about the various forms of hepatitis, HPV, which I'm going to get into in relating to women and men. But if you have a sexually transmitted disease, even if you're 15 years old or 18 years old or 25 years old, that can increase your risk of getting prostate cancer later in life. So what you do in your youth, you can pay for it in your later years. So please use a condom. Please, if you're in a relationship, please be monogamous. That can save your life, and that can save the life of someone that you're with. When we talk about sexually transmitted disease, I'm just going to go diverge a little bit about cervical cancer. Cervical cancer is afflicting too many, particularly young women in this country. I've seen it day in and day out where I get a referral for a woman who's 25 years old, two children, 28 years old, one child, a 33-year-old who just got married, who has stage 4 metastatic cervical cancer that's related to HPV, human papillomavirus. And it's a tragedy. The reason for that is because with the HPV vaccine, which has been around since 2009, 2010, the chance of getting cervical cancer is reduced by 92%. If there was a vaccine available that said that 92% of all prostate cancers could be avoided, I'd be on Bay Street every single day with placards announcing that every man needs to get the vaccine for prostate cancer. But we're not there yet. But we do have a vaccine to prevent young boys, young girls, and older adults from getting any HPV-related cancers. And there are innumerable number of cancers that HPV can create in our system. So HPV, at the age of 11, age 12, we're recommending that boys and girls all get the HPV vaccine, particularly before the age of 14. And it's a two-dose regime. So you'll get the first dose, and about 6 months later, you'll get your second dose, and then that's all you need. If you get the vaccine after the age of 15, and we advocate if you don't get it before the age of 26, that it's unlikely to be a benefit, although there have been some studies that show that you can get it even up to the age of 49. But the more sexual partners that you've had, the least benefit you're going to have from getting the HPV vaccine. But if you get the HPV vaccine between the ages of 15 and 26, this is actually just a three-dose regime. But it can prevent you from getting cervical cancer, preventing young women from dying needlessly. And it's a horrible, horrible death where women will suffer for 4 or 5 years, where many of them have young children, many of them have a husband, and they're leaving orphans behind, and it's a tragedy where they're, in many cases they die of renal failure because of obstruction of their kidneys leads them to have kidney failure because of the advancement of the cervical cancer throughout their pelvis. So please, I'm advocating, it's readily available in the government system, it's readily available at your local clinics, it's definitely available at all pediatric offices throughout the Bahamas. Please get the HPV vaccine. It may save your life. It may save the life of someone you love. And it definitely can provide some amount of security in terms of, you know, that your daughter one day will not, with almost certainty, be afflicted with cervical cancer. And I'm also going to advocate for pap smears. Please, from the age of 21, you need to have pap smears, women looking for cervical cancers. But please, let's get the HPV vaccine. Let's take away the stigma related to getting the HPV vaccine. I've been on the radio before speaking about the HPV vaccine and trying to get 11 and 12-year-old boys and girls to get the vaccine. And I've had call-ins, I've had texts that have come in. And it's alarming that people think that because we're advocating for HPV vaccine coverage, we're trying to advocate for 11 and 12-year-olds to be sexually active. That's absolutely not the case. I don't know where people go to that extreme. What we're trying to do is we're trying to save lives. And the reality is there are dozens of women in this country dying needlessly, a horrible death of cervical cancer every single year. It's a burden on our healthcare system. It's a burden on our society. It's a burden on our families. And it doesn't have to happen. So please, I'll be the first one to advocate, let's get the HPV vaccine. So let's get back to the topic, prostate cancer awareness. We have all the risk factors for getting prostate cancer. How can we prevent getting prostate cancer? It's not as if it's inevitable. Unfortunately, we have a very small gene pool. We have a lot in terms of incidence of BRCA gene mutations. BRCA gene is breast cancer gene. It's actually a suppressor gene that prevents us from getting cancer. So when we have a mutation in that gene, it prevents us from having the ability to repair a DNA that is replicating irregularly. So essentially, if you have a BRCA gene type 1 mutation as a man, your chance of getting prostate cancer is 3.9 times greater than if you don't. If you have a BRCA gene type 2 mutation, your chance of getting prostate cancer in your lifetime is 8.6 times greater. If you have a first-degree relative or two first-degree relatives who have had prostate cancer, particularly a father or a brother, your chance of, in terms of familial disposition, you'll have about a 15% greater chance of getting prostate cancer. So how can we prevent getting prostate cancer? As I mentioned, we can be very conscious of our health. We can make sure that we have a normal body mass index, that we avoid obesity, that we consume alcohol responsibly. We can also use a condom and make sure that we're not afflicted with a sexually transmitted illness or disease. We can also make sure that we reduce our red meat intake, reduce our processed meat and food intake. You want to have a limited fat content in your diet. And something that might be surprising, we also need to reduce our dairy milk intake. So I'm going to say a little bit more on the other end of the commercial, but thank you again for joining me. And this is Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto. Thank you.
Jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on. All you hear is. For the month of September, the Hitspot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the Hitspot and listen to.
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Urologist Speaks. This is Behem Urologist, Dr. Gregory Pinto. So we were talking when we were interrupted by the commercial with prostate cancer. This is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. I'm just going to take a brief text and answer. Doc, what symptoms do you have if you have HPV? Excellent question. So studies have shown about 80% of sexually active individuals will have HPV at one time or another. And for most individuals, HPV will dissipate on its own. So you may not even have any symptoms whatsoever. You may have symptoms of genital warts if you're unfortunate. But for most of us, the body gets rid of HPV on its own. But there are those select individuals, unfortunately, who are going to have HPV that's going to further put you at risk. And you may develop numerous cancers. You can get, for a woman, you can get, as I mentioned, cervical cancer. So if you get the HPV vaccine, you can reduce your chance of getting cervical cancer to almost nothing, because 92% of cervical cancers are prevented by getting an HPV vaccine. But you can also get vulval cancer. You can also get anal cancer, men and women. You can get oral pharyngeal cancer. You can get throat cancer. And this is the shocker, and a lot of men don't realize that. You can get penile cancer. So if you want a motivation, and you look at your sons, your nieces, your grandsons, and decide whether you want to get them the HPV vaccine, do you ever want any of them to go through getting penile cancer? And as a urologist, it's one of the worst things a man can go through is to get penile cancer, where in many cases men are so embarrassed by the growth on their male manhood that they don't come in for many months, where the blood supply is compromised and it almost auto-amputates, and I'm not exaggerating. So they'll come in and part of their male member has actually fallen off, or the entire organ has fallen off, or it's come in as a gangrenous mass where they're in the emergency department and the odor is so rancid that it's making all the other staff members and all the other emergency patients nauseous and sick to the stomach. So you don't want to live like that. So if that is a motivation itself, remember that point. HPV can cause penile cancer, and that's not anything that anybody on this earth ever wants to face or wants any male in their life ever having to face. So please, let's get the HPV vaccine. So speaking more about how we can prevent prostate cancer, there's actually a drug. It's called a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor. It can actually reduce your chance of getting low-risk prostate cancer by as much as 25%. It can also fight male pattern baldness. So you can take a tablet once a day, keep your hair, reduce your chance of getting prostate cancer by as much as 25%. That's a win-win for men. So there are things that we can do to prevent prostate cancer. I see that the board is lighting up. Let's please take a call, producer. You can go through. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Pinto, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thank you for calling.
Okay, I'm happy to take up the show. I often listen to you when you appeared on the morning show with White Swan.
Yes.
You have an audience. I run a community with guys who I introduced the show to, so I know for sure they listen.
I appreciate your encouraging words.
What you could do is, you think you break down some of the words. The only question that they have is for you to sort of break down some of the words so they can understand.
I'll do so. Yes, okay. I will try to speak with plain language as possible. I thank you for that kind advice.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, thank you for your kind call.
Okay.
Okay, so I will. We'll continue. So you, there's another call. Okay, go ahead.
Good evening, Dr. Pinto. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great, thank you.
That's great. You probably don't remember the voice, but this is Des Mangas, Nurse Des Mangas. We worked together.
Yes, before. Yes. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was calling to ask a question. In terms of screening for HPV, I know for females, we do it with the pap smear, but is there any breakthrough in terms of new technology that's going to be introduced or talked about to screen for HPV with males?
No, we don't usually screen because if we screen, we're going to have to screen everybody. And if you're sexually active, 80% at some point are going to have HPV, which usually dissipates on its own. Obviously, you may be confronted with having HPV-related genital warts. But in terms of HPV, when we're doing the pap smear, we're actually trying to look for cervical cancer, which is related to HPV, strongly related to HPV. But what we're trying to do is let's make HPV a thing of the past. Let's, across the board, for this upcoming generation until the next generation, let's make HPV something that doesn't exist, and that is possible by getting everybody vaccinated.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for your call. All right, so you can keep your hair. You can prevent prostate cancer by as much as 25%. We're going to take another call there. I appreciate all the calls coming in.
Hello.
Yes, good evening.
Dr. Pinto, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for calling.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you very much.
Now, I often listen to you, and I try to be informed.
Thank you.
With the education that you give.
Yes.
Now, you know, as a Bahamian, we have a lot of super spiritual sisters.
Yes.
And they believe that intimacy, it's like taboo.
Yes.
How is it important, speak about this, for a man to get a healthy ejaculation? How important that is for the prostate? I'm talking about married man now, but one wife, not all around.
Okay.
Can you speak to how important that is for some of our super spiritual sisters to help their men with their prostate by getting an ejaculation? I think you talk about ejaculation do help a man with prostate. Can you speak to that, please?
I like the angle you're coming from. Okay, so I'm speaking to the Christian sisters throughout the nation, and I'm writing a prescription.
I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. I'm writing a prescription for you and for every other man, and no man's going to refuse this prescription. There are conclusive studies that have gone on for the last 30 years, including a well-received and supported Harvard study involving 27,000 men, and it's shown conclusively. And there was the same studies repeated in Europe and Germany. It was also repeated in Australia, and it found that 21 ejaculations or more a month can reduce your chance of getting prostate cancer by as much as 30%. That's considerable. So that's a prescription that you can take to the bank. Thank you very much. Sorry. All right, so we're talking more about prostate cancer. If we pick up prostate cancer early, your chance of survival is 100%. A lot of men are afraid of pain. Bahamian men are afraid of pain. And if we're talking about prostate cancer treatment, all we got to do to cure your prostate cancer is to do one of many things. First, surgery is obviously an option. That's called a radical prostatectomy. That is done in modern urology minimally invasively. So that means small keyhole incisions where there's little to no pain, no recovery. You're up and about within 2 hours. You're home the next day. That can provide an excellent cure rate. You can have external beam radiation where you can have image-guided radiation that kills pinpoint radiation that kills only the prostate cancer, leaves the rest of the gland intact. You can have internal radiation in the form of brachytherapy, where we place strategically using a 3D reconstruction of the prostate gland, we can, and the use of a nuclear physicist, we can plan and stage, and we can place low-dose radioactive seeds. And these are little seeds, even smaller than the grain of rice, where even a few brachytherapy seeds placed on your finger, you can probably fit about 5 or 6 of them. That can provide an excellent cure rate with about a 94% chance of maintaining your erections after the procedure. You can have focal cryotherapy, where you can have your prostate cancer cells and tumor frozen, leaving the rest of the gland intact. You can have HIFU, which is called high-intensity focus ultrasound, where you can heat and destroy the prostate cancer and it leaves the rest of the gland intact. So there are many ways that we can cure prostate cancer. There's not one right or wrong answer. It depends on the pathology of the disease. It depends on the stage of the disease. It depends on the patient's body habitus, the comorbidities of the patient as well. But the essential take-home message is that prostate cancer is easily cured. Brachytherapy, in fact, can be done as an outpatient procedure in a 40-minute non-invasive procedure. So the fear of pain in treating prostate cancer also is a big misconception that should be dispersed within the community. Prostate cancer, curative treatment is, if not painless, near painless, and minimally invasively done, even as an outpatient, or even if you have to come to hospital, it's just overnight. No one needs to know your business. You're in and out, and you're cured. You can be done in some of these procedures on a weekend. You could be back to work that week. So please stop having this miscommunication that prostate cancer is going to rob you of your erections, that prostate cancer is going to have you living the rest of your life on a catheter in a bag, that your life is over. That is true, and this should be the motivation for men to get early prostate cancer screening, is that if you have advanced disease, the first thing we're going to do for advanced disease is we're going to lower your testosterone to as low as possible. The reason for that is once you have prostate cancer, testosterone is a hormone that allows that prostate cancer to proliferate and progress. If we can starve the individual with advanced or metastatic prostate cancer of testosterone, we can halt its progression, hopefully for many years. Obviously, there are side effects of lowering your testosterone to near zero. First of all, your erections are gone. So we're talking about life over leisure. We're not worried about your sexual prowess. We're trying to save your life. And we shouldn't be at that point. We should be able to pick up prostate cancer early. We shouldn't be diagnosing you when the prostate is already spread to other organs, where it's spread throughout the pelvis, where it's spread to the bones. So let that be a motivation. Men want to keep their erections until they're 80-something or 90-something, or basically as long as they live. Let's allow you to have that opportunity. But if you have advanced disease, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to try to save your life and give you as many years on this earth as possible. And we're going to starve your body of testosterone, which is going to ruin your erections. We got another call coming in.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Pinto. Hello?
I'm here. I hear you. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you recognize the
voice. I know you very well. How are you doing?
First time tuning in since you was on the air a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Which I really would appreciate, you know, this show at all, very, very much. And so, you know, some things I just like to mention from a patient's perspective. But firstly, I heard you was talking about the reductase inhibitor, right? Would that be the Avodart?
It's Avodart is one and finasteride is one. Yes.
All right. Yeah. So the 30% risk. And so, Maybe I may be a living study. I noticed that study you had read about the 30% chance as far as with the ejaculation and the amount of sex you have in a month. I'd read that also.
And so, yes.
And I actually believed it because it was actually, I don't know if I was juxtaposing it for the BPH.
Yes. We've had many discussions, and I know you're very well a learned individual, and I always thank you, even I hear you on other talk shows. Yes, go ahead.
But you know that I've learned so much from you. Remember, in my ignorance, I was so afraid of BPH that I suggested having the testicles removed, right?
I do remember that.
You reminded me that.
I do remember that.
The testosterone is produced by the testicles.
Yes, yes.
And it would really do a heart problems, et cetera, et cetera. So no one knows what they think they know.
Correct.
And I would just urge the public to listen because of the sincerity that you showed me. But as it relates to the, you mentioned something about vaporization, these new, the new procedures in, as far as the prostatectomy.
Yes.
And the catheterization. I know it's a European method, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, me, like everybody else, I am in dread of the prostate cancer. You know about BPH.
I'd like you to
do a show on that subsequently.
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk on the latter part of this show on BPH. I want to talk about prostate health.
You know,
yes.
Because when I had the BPH, a lot of people were saying, oh, they thought I had the prostate cancer. But, you know, I was negative henceforth, thanks to you guys. But with the biopsy, you know, it was very painful. And so, I did the ultrasound and the biopsy, but it healed up after a while. But I like how you mentioned last week the significance or the urgency to implement an MRI system, which is less invasive versus the biopsy, because, you know, I fear the biopsy, but then I realized that the reason why you was always telling me to do the PSA test on a regular basis so that you can see the disparity in the numbers, and then it'll give you an indication of something is wrong, right?
Correct. So MRI, if you do an MRI of your, a multiparametric MRI of your pelvis and your prostate, we can avoid as many as 70% of prostate biopsies.
Yeah, and the thing is, it, the dreaded fear of this, this disease is spreading to the pelvic area is almost similar like when, you know, I saw a lady right after I got a biopsy that time there, which would have been, I would have been about 40, I would have been about close to 50 or whatever. But it was like she, her cancer spread from her breast to her lung. So I realized it's the same process. She never smoked a cigarette in her life. But as it relates to the cancer, is does the cancer, I mean, because I'm also, you kind of give me some great comfort there with the new invasive procedures, like when you talk about the vaporization of doing the prostatectomy and all of that, right? Versus the radiation, but you kind of make me feel a little comfortable there with the radiation and these other procedures in case I do be diagnosed with prostate cancer. So that's my real concern there, because, you know, you hear these stories about the radiation, and you mentioned a more direct, safe input. I noticed you're talking about as far as the area as it relates to where you put the radiation.
And yeah, so that's brachytherapy. In fact, there have been studies that shown that when they did surveys looking at urologists in it, they were asked if they themselves or their father were ever diagnosed with prostate cancer, what treatment would you recommend? And for the vast majority of those studies, most of them, because of the non-invasive way that brachytherapy is implemented, that was the first choice.
I hate to get a little personal, but it's not the end all, because I was surprised that, like, I even with the personal conversation with you, you know, I had a child at 52 and then another one at 58.
Yes.
Post two terps.
Yes.
And you said it was great.
Well, thank goodness we never took out your testicles.
Yeah. You know, but I lined up and listened, and so really and truly, with the BPH, it's like with the terp with me, like it's just some symptoms that I still experiencing. Post-surgery, so I don't know if my own is kind of unique in which there's a little intermittent bleeding and clots, but it tends to go for months and then come back. So, you know, maybe...
Everybody's different.
If these invasive procedures are... They're not available in the public hospital system. I guess that's why you're pushing for these things, because it's not... You see what I'm saying? Because I thought the TURP is quite... Even though they say the gold standard, for me, it's quite invasive. It's quite painful. I hang up and listen, and I like to share my experiences too, even so, especially if a line could come on, or people like me who senior and could experience. I like it because you know, with the TURP post-surgery, one of the greatest things I realized was the pain and doing urination and retraining the bladder. So I hang up and listen.
Well, everybody's different. There are at least 9 to 10 different ways that you can resect minimally invasively your prostate. BPH, benign prostate hyperplasia, is an inevitable part of getting older. It goes by decades, about 50% of 50-year-olds, 60% of 60-year-olds. And by the time you're in your 70s, probably 80-something percent are going to have some symptoms of urinary hesitancy, frequency, urgency, day and night, incomplete bladder emptying. So there are many ways that we can do it. In fact, I was I'm very happy that maybe about 5-6 months ago, I was able to procure the latest advanced bipolar TERT machine for the public system. So we do have the state-of-the-art minimally invasive resection available in the public system now. I have numerous calls. Let me take another call. Thank you. Go ahead. You're on there. Yes, good evening.
Dr. Bento, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Yeah, when you get a prostate cancer screening and everything comes back negative, when you will be due for an next screening?
It's an annual thing. So every
annual
year,
thing, right?
Every year you need to get at least
year.
A PSA blood test, yes.
Yeah, Dr. Pinto, this is Irv Roll, one of your clients.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in to see you, and I had a screening from you.
Okay.
You told me a year or so, but mm-hmm. Oak Tree called me the other day and had me scheduled for the next month. It's only about 4, 5 to 6 months
okay.
for another screening.
Okay. So when yeah. when you see a physician more than once a year, and most patients are supposed to see a physician more than once a year, it's not just for your prostate, even as urologist.
You told me about 9 months, though.
Okay.
You said
okay.
come in about 9 months.
Yes. If you have non-communicable diseases, you want to make sure at maybe at that six-month point, if your hypertension is well controlled, if your diabetes is well controlled, if the medication that you may be prescribed is working, if your urinary urgency or frequency is getting worse, we need to change your medication.
No, everything good. Everything
all right.
good. Everything
okay.
good.
I'm glad you had a negative screening, and I'm glad you're doing well. Thank you
yeah,
for calling.
Oak Tree parking is a problem. When
okay.
I scheduled
okay.
for my 9 months, can I come to Blake Road, the other office?
Yes. I thought this is not really the forum for it, but yes. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Not a problem. I have another caller. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Pinto. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Awesome. My first time call to you on your program. I was really looking forward to see whether you were going to come out to all the men who missed last night at Bahamas Harvest Church with Dr. Cooper.
Okay.
Marcus Cooper. I think that was one of the best symposiums that we had. You know, we as men always complain that we don't have sufficient programs in contrast to women who always have their programs. I think for those men who really missed that symposium last night with Kevin Harris and Dr. Cooper, I think you missed something really fantastic. Dr. Pinto, we were also looking for you to be a part of that panel last night. Because of your wealth of knowledge and information that you could also share with we as men on how to maximize our health benefits in this climate. My question to you basically is this. As far as hormones from the foods that we eat, in particular meats, because we don't know what is being injected into these foods and so on and so forth, is there any correlation between animal hormones and our prostate that we should be aware of? Is there any proven scientific information that you can share on what we should be avoiding, especially men who are over the age of 40, 50, and even especially in our 60s? Is there any information that can help us to protect ourselves more in hope to preventing the early stages of prostate problems as we move forward? Just wanted to pose that question to you this evening, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Unfortunately, in regards to the men's event yesterday, I had a conflict where I was actually doing a Zoom prostate cancer awareness talk at exactly the same time, but I always try to make myself available, whether it's to speaking to a group of six in the church or a group of 600. So this is why having a radio show is wonderful. It's reaching so many persons throughout the New Providence and the Family Islands. So you have an excellent point. Yes, hormones are very important in terms of what we're taking into our bodies, particularly for prostate cancer, which is very hormonal responsive and sensitive. I'll speak about the hormones that we have in processed foods. Yes, there's a strong correlation between the hormones and processed foods in general and the risk of prostate cancer. In fact, it increases your chance of getting prostate cancer exponentially. That's why if you want to limit your risk of prostate cancer, please, everything in moderation. Obviously, you don't have to live the life of a monk, but you don't want to have too much in the way of processed food. You want to reduce your red meat intake. You want to reduce your fat content in your diet. And then I was starting to speak earlier, but I'll go into be more elaborate in terms of dairy milk. Calcium is also extremely important. It is involved in almost every part of our bodily system in terms of blood vessels and blood cells, etc. It's important for the homeostasis of the body as a whole. But you don't need to take your calcium in terms of dairy milk. For men who have a high risk of prostate cancer, and across the board, most Bahamian men do because of their African ancestry, I would suggest that they have little to no dairy milk because most of the dairy milk has estrogens and a lot of hormones in it. About 75% of the cows that provide the dairy milk are pregnant at the time, and they're providing a lot of estrogens, and that makes increases your risk of getting prostate cancer, particularly for black men. I won't go into great depth, but the way that we metabolize calcium is a lot different than other racial counterparts. So if you're a black man, limit your calcium milk intake. In fact, they found that you don't want to have more than 1 3/4 cups of dairy milk a day. But my advice is try to avoid it altogether. There are other forms of milk, such as almond milk, that you can take and still get your calcium intake. Thank you very much. We'll be back after the break.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Today.
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you very much. This is The Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. It's a pleasure for you to be tuning in. I would be remiss if I wasn't going to, when talking about prostate health, talk about benign prostate hyperplasia, which, although 1 in 6 men are going to be afflicted with prostate cancer, everyone is going to get some amount of urinary urgency, frequency, what we call lower urinary tract symptoms, related to a benign non-cancerous enlargement of your prostate, which is an inevitable part of getting older. It's not something that results from something we didn't do or something we did or something that we took in our diet or lack of exercise is an inevitable part, particularly of men of African ancestry. We're going to have an enlargement of your prostate. Your prostate is a walnut-sized organ that lies underneath your bladder, just above your rectum. It wraps around your urethra, which is your pee pipe that allows you to urinate. It also causes an obstruction of the outlet of your bladder. So it prevents almost like a dam effect where you think you're emptying and you're never emptying. And over a progressive period of time, your bladder compensates physiologically by getting larger capacity so it can hold urine for a longer period of time. It also gets more muscular so it can contract with a greater force to allow you to get a decent urinary stream. But the take-home message is stop trying to hide your symptoms. If you're afraid to have a glass of water after 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. because you're not going to wake up eight or ten times in the night, you know something is wrong. And statistically, it's more likely to be benign disease. So if men are afraid to come and see a urologist or a physician thinking that because you're waking up innumerable times, because you don't make it to the toilet in time and you're having some incontinence, because you know you're not emptying your bladder, it's prostate cancer, statistically speaking, you have a much greater chance of having benign disease. But if you know your numbers, if you know your PSA value, you don't even have to be concerned whether you have prostate cancer or not. And we can give you a medication that can make a 58-year-old, a 74-year-old pee like a 20-year-old. So stop suffering needlessly. It's ridiculous to have men driving with a cup to urinate into because they can't even pull over the side of the road. It's ridiculous to have men of the uniform branch afraid to go in and pull over on the side of the road to try to find a tree and not embarrass the police or defense force because they're peeing behind a tree. Or worse yet, to have to wake up so many times in the night they just give up and have to have a bucket at the side of the road. Stop living with that indignity. And it's not just a nuisance in affecting your quality of life. How can you do anything in your profession if every second you have to urinate? If you're living outside, near a toilet or indoors, if every meeting you're going to have to go and urinate every 20 minutes, or you're trying to teach a class and you have to urinate three times throughout the classroom setting, or you're always having that depression because, or social anxiety or social awkwardness because you feel like you've leaked a little bit of urine and that you're feeling like everyone is aware that you're smelling like urine. Regain control of your bladder, regain control of your prostate, regain control of your happiness. Don't let it control your life. We can give you medications that can rebound your erections. We can give you medications that can have you urinating and maybe waking up once in the night to urinate or not at all, that allows you to have a beer with friends without having to pee every 10 minutes, allows you to have a glass of wine without having to worry about where's the next bathroom, allow you to go into traffic knowing that if you're stuck in traffic for half an hour, you're not going to embarrass yourself. So stop letting the bladder or your prostate control your life. Even if the medication is not wholly effective, if you have a massive-sized prostate, we can do minimally invasive procedures in an outpatient half an hour, 40-minute procedure without a single cut, a single stitch, or any recovery that can have you peeing like a champion, hitting the wall with the greatest force that you haven't seen in 30 years immediately. And that's minimally invasively. So there's so many ways that it can be done. There are at least 9 to 10 different ways that we can minimally invasively resect your prostate in an outpatient procedure without a single cut, without any stitches, without any recovery whatsoever. So stop letting your bladder and prostate control your life. And it's not just a nuisance. You can cause irreversible damage to your bladder. Your bladder can only take so many hits. It can cause irreversible damage with back pressure to your kidneys, which is called hydronephrosis in medical terms, where the body is producing urine. It's allowing toxins to be expelled in your urine. If you can't, you're going to go into what we call acute renal failure that can lead to chronic renal failure. And there are dozens of men that I personally know that ignored the fact that they weren't emptying their bladder and ended up on dialysis. So if you don't want to see a doctor, trust me, you don't want to have to go through dialysis treatments 3 times a week. We have one last call. Please go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Pinto. Just wanted to ask another question. in relation to the PSA,
yes,
and we do the screening every year, is there a differentiation in terms of the levels that you want to look at to determine if it's BPH versus prostate cancer, or we just should look at the symptoms?
So it's an excellent question, and it brings up the point that I've made many times. Prostate cancer, if you're waiting for symptoms, you're waiting till it's too late, because for prostate cancer, you have little or to no symptoms. In terms of PSA, PSA is an enzyme produced by what we call the prostate epithelial cells that is specific to the prostate gland. It's not specific to prostate cancer. It's not a very, what we call, sensitive or specific test. So there are many things related to the prostate that can cause your PSA to jump up. That will include inflammation, infection, incomplete bladder emptying, a very big, benign, enlarged prostate. So PSA in itself is one of the gateways that we look at for surveilling for prostate cancer, but it's not the be-all and end-all of testing. So if your PSA is high, we're going to do more specific blood tests. If when we look at what is a normal PSA, it's more individualized. So for a black man, the average for a specific age, and it's also age-specific, so a PSA for a 40-year-old is going to be a lot lower than for a 65-year-old. But we want to look at PSA from 1 year to the next. So that can vary tremendously. So we look at PSA velocity, change of PSA over time. If there's a big jump from 1 year to the next, that may be an indicator of prostate cancer. And your value of your PSA could, quote-unquote, still be normal. So we look at anything above 4 as abnormal. Doesn't necessarily mean you have prostate cancer, but if you have PSA less than 4, 15 to 20% of prostate cancers actually have a normal PSA value. So that's where we do more specific tests. That's where we do MRI to try to pick up prostate cancer. So let's just start with getting a PSA value and getting one every single year. So I know I've said a lot. I hope I've been informative. Next week, we're going to give the women a chance. We're going to speak about bladder issues. We're going to talk about breast cancer. We're going to speak a little bit more about cervical cancer. But for women, we're going to try to get them off the pads, get them off the panty liners, stop worrying about them not going to the gym because every time they exercise, they're leaking a little bit of urine. I want women in this country to be able to laugh, sneeze, cough without having to leak a little bit of urine. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here. And I'm Dr. Gregory Pinto, and this is The Urologist Speaks. Good night.